Today's two fantastic special guests on Young Entrepreneurs Worldwide. And I must tell you, they're both under 31.
I've had a lot of people in my time say, you know, family business, that's really interesting. That everyone I've ever met that's done that, pretty much it's gone south.
They are co-founders of a new system called FBED Labs.
You know, I went on property benders and bought 15 houses. I sold them all. I then did about five different companies, different things, and everything just wasn't making money because I was doing too much. You're going to get hit in the face more than you can imagine.
And they have a company building the intelligence layer behind modern sales.
A barrage of messages from Josh being like, hey, I found something online and I don't think it's great, so I've rebuilt it. Here, go test it and see what works. And I'm like, sure, okay, I'll give you some feedback in a few apps.
What are you worth?
$100 billion.
They have turned one powerful question that we all want to know the answer to into a system that can actually engineer better outcomes in business. And that question is, why do some deals close and others don't?
It's funny that when you make something very cool, people just come. With AI, mediocrity is going to get crushed. And if you aren't exceptional, you are not going to win.
Welcome, Josh and Sam Bardsley,
to
Young Entrepreneurs Worldwide. First question, both brothers, both co-founders, what is FBED Labs?
FBED Labs is positioned as a research arm, and we started researching because 12 years on the floor of selling was, you know, painful. Everybody used to do was just getting on the phones and talking to people, and, you know, as social media began to blow up, as tools, more software, more things came on the market, it just got more and more difficult, more and more noisy, and more kind of, you know, it was harder for people to actually, you know, get the outcomes that they wanted. And I noticed that people's sales cycles were getting longer, deals weren't closing as fast, you've got lower conversion rates everywhere. And, you know, we were in the business at that time of doing that as a job, and it was just frustrating. And I basically said, well, everybody loves referrals. So what is a referral and can I mathematically derive it? And it just turned out that we had about 25,000 conversations stored in our database. And so I set about with the help of AI, basically researching through all of them. We ended up with an algorithm that we could score trust.
Oh, wow.
And the power of that ballooned into me building a neural network that now has 107 of those algorithms.
A neural network.
And, you know, has run 650 million sales simulations.
Wow.
And that's FBED Labs. We've now got, you know, lots and lots of things and applications, so, and things. So it's very good.
Can I just ask, Sam, what age are you?
29
and
31.
And you've just become a father. As co-founders, your brothers, as co-founders, what are your strengths and what is Josh's strengths? I want to hear it from you. And what are your weaknesses versus Josh's?
Well, for me, it's been excellent because as Josh develops these algorithms and these tools, I'm the guy that's, you know, selling our services across the company. So it's, I've been able to take these tools and actually go and use them every day. So bringing him live data in terms of what we're actually selling into the market has been great for us because it's allowed our sales process to just improve, like gradually over the last year. And so the stuff that we're actually taking to the market, it's not just like, this is what we're trying to do and this is what we're aiming to do. It's like, we're actually doing it every single day, analyzing hundreds of conversations every week. And it's been mind-blowing.
But I get that both of you are salesmen. You're very good salesmen, both of you. Would you say you both complement each other with the same skill sets?
Yeah. My background is, I would say, more creative. Obviously, I'm back at the videography and the editing and that kind of stuff and back in the day. And coming into our world of podcast marketing originally about 5 years ago, that was where I was like, this is awesome because it's a mix of both. So I excelled in that area. But yeah, I've always loved people and selling and talking. And so I, you know, when I see 20, 30 calls on my diary every week, meeting businesses around the world, I'm like, awesome, because I get to meet people and just converse. And yeah, I love it. Yeah.
We have a weird environment where we sell our products with our products. We've got three apps and a service business that has about 20 people in it, which runs, you know, still runs and books a lot of podcast guests because we like podcasts because, you know, it's a real nice conversation and we can, you know, it builds a lot of trust and rapport. Yeah. So for a lot of businesses, it's very easy to generate and build, you know, quite a nice guest list and building that sort of thing. So because we sell sales stuff, we use our own sales stuff to sell our sales stuff.
No surprise there.
So yeah. It's a really nice little flywheel that somehow we've ended up with, to be honest.
So how do you monetize this? You've got this incredible amount of data, mm-hmm. right? Is that what you're selling? You're selling data that you have accumulated?
There's a few phases to it. You know, we never set out to be a SaaS company. Like, we were a service company for many years, and it just so happens that now we ended up with, you know, a very, very good SaaS product in Cascade, which has just come to market, which is very exciting. That as a SaaS product is one of our revenue streams. And then we have the service business as well, which is ConversationOS, which is kind of like, the way that we're framing it is a bit like white glove SaaS. So you still get the power of the humans behind it. We're just using all of our technology to deliver the service for you. It's a monthly subscription.
How much is it?
The OS is probably $1,500 US a month, and then the Cascade starts at maybe $40 a month. So
You're UK based.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
And you're marketing into America.
It's in like 12 different languages and across Europe.
Fantastic. And US, absolutely fantastic. I was a co-founder. Roz was a co-founder. You are both co-founders. Do you think that it's important for a co-foundership to work for you both to be doing very different things?
Yes and no. I mean, thankfully for us, yeah, we are doing very different things. I think it kind of depends on your relationship, really. But yeah, we complement each other in a way where in communication styles, you know, we both have our benefits and our strengths and whatnot. So it's great in terms of, I would say the strongest point is the communication side and how we feed that back into the team and the different areas that we work in. So, you know, I've had a lot of people in my time say, you know, family business, that's really interesting. That everyone I've ever met that's done that, it's pretty much it's gone south. And I'm like, well, I'm very lucky. Like, we're very lucky in a sense that, I think, yeah.
Hang on, family business, you've still got plenty of time, boys. You're only 31 and 29.
I also think, like, brothers, like, it's a little bit different, isn't it? Like, we grew up fighting each other. Yeah. And, you know.
So you do a lot of podcasts online, about 17,000.
Like 20 now.
20,000 podcasts online.
Yeah.
So is the reason for doing that to get data from them?
There's two arms to it, really. The one is obviously
online, right? This is online.
It's all online, and that's usually because, you know, people's time is precious, right? We want to leverage them and meet as many people as possible. There's two main benefits to that, and one is obviously brand awareness. People want content online. It's very important nowadays to be getting multiple different formats out there. But I'd say the biggest one is the types of businesses that we work with. They're very good at what they do. But nowadays, like Josh was describing around lead gen and getting out there and meeting people, it's getting more and more difficult because the offers are just, they differ. So what we look at is these people are great, but all they want is just valuable time with their target market. And how can we do that in a way that's creating something of value? And it's not just a rubbish kind of exchange.
If I've got something to sell, I'm up for doing that podcast.
Exactly.
But what I want to do is, you're absolutely right, is get in front of the right person or to get information back from them. But what is the carrot for the other person?
We have a brand called Podcast Management Global, and we take a brand, like a you or whoever, and they say, well, our target audience is, let's say, CEOs of, you know, $100 million plus manufacturing companies, and then we have to build a podcast that would make sense for that person to come on the show. So we're leveraging human psychology here, ego. They want a platform. And we build the podcast around the ICP, the ideal client profile. And then we use our tool ICPX, which is the other app that we have. And we go out and we find them and we use the brand to book them as guests. And then we work with the host on, you know, what information they're trying to get. It's really important that they don't try to sell on the podcast to the person that they're talking to.
100%.
It's all about trust and rapport. And if they're good, then they will win. And we have a conversion rate of about 55, 60% of another meeting being scheduled after our podcasts. So it's doing its job.
The Conversation Store and FBeds are running parallel.
Yes.
And my observation of you, Josh and Sam, is that you are a machine, Josh. You are a data
I'm the crazy
machine.
One. He's the structured
You're not
one.
Crazy at all. Has anyone showed up to back you? Where's the money?
Well, you know, it took a long time. I spent 9 months in the data by myself. And thankfully, I had the help of Claude Code when that came out, because I'd never written a line of code before 9 months ago. So
I don't know. Well, tell everybody what Claude Code is.
Yeah, so Claude, obviously, you know, there's a vibe coding environment, which is this people you can talk to the AI agent and, you know, he can make yourself a website. And I started doing that for a bit of fun. And then I ended up, you know, going into the engineering side and using the actual, you know, coding interfaces, and then things, people like Anthropic and ChatGPT, they made it, they put their AI models in these coding interfaces. And that enabled me to then learn very quickly through all the different languages, through Python, through Rust, and basically end up building these things by myself.
How many hours a day were you working?
I've done about 3,500 hours of time.
How much sleep do you get a night?
Not that a lot, because I've just had a baby three and a half months ago. So, but actually, to be honest with you, being at home for 3.5 months, being awake, I ended up just coding while she was asleep.
What about you, Sam?
Well, I sit and wake up every morning and I have a barrage of messages from Josh being like, hey, I found something online and I don't think it's great, so I've rebuilt it. Here you go, go test it and see what works. And I'm like, sure, okay, I'll give you some feedback in a few hours.
I'm the agent whisperer
every day.
Now.
Yeah, you have a great handoff between you.
It's wonderful, yeah.
It is, and, I can see that.
So what they ended up doing is, you know, we came unlike most startups, like we had a business, server business before, so we have, you know, over £1 million worth of revenue, and it's funded me going on a bit of a journey for the last few months by myself, and Sam's been amazing and keeping selling, and we keep making the products better, and so it's getting easier. But it kind of led to the point of the data was that good, and the proprietary data set we now have is so good that, you know, we were able to, you know, go and get a very, very we're very lucky to have be signing with KPMG to do two races with us. So the seed round is already underway, and we're, you know, planning a Series A next year.
And did
year.
They come to you?
Yeah, so it all ended up with, guess what, from a podcast.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. I think what Roz and I have learned since doing Entrepreneurs Worldwide is the difference a chat on this level makes.
We've watched thousands and thousands. I mean, I have sat and watched maybe 10,000 of these things to do the research. And every single human being that's even tried to do business has been through absolute utter hell.
Yes.
And they don't get to talk about it. And so when they get to actually come on and say their story and talk about it, it does something to them.
It really does.
And it also does something for the host, because the host is like, oh my goodness, like, people are actually human beings. Like, we forget that. And we don't do this opening up.
Talking of being human beings, give us the mistakes you know you've already made that you might have changed. Give everybody some takeaways.
How do you deal with the pressure and the stress?
My start to the journey there was a little bit different to Josh's, because he'd already kind of begun his journey when I was still in sixth form at school. And I was looking at universities thinking that's the standardized route, right? That's what we've got to go and do. And then very quickly, him and my father were like, you know, maybe you shouldn't go. Maybe you should figure out what you're good at, and then why don't you go and just try and sell it to somebody. And I thought, okay, so I like cameras, so let me go pick up a camera, and then I'll go and try and do some photography for somebody and charge some money. And that's kind of how it started for me. And I think the biggest lesson that I learned, and Josh was pretty good at this when we were still young, was you have to be obsessive around what you're doing and selling, and you have to wake up and put the hours in, because no one else is going to do it for you when you're doing it on your own. So that was the hardest lesson, I think, for me.
I said something just this morning when you came in. Sam was the first to arrive, and I said to Ross, do you know, those boys are incredible. The minute they get in, you'd open your laptop and you're on it. And you're the same.
I rock up with
you're
it open.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I don't think it ever closes.
My journey with this has been a bit weirder, because, like, my dad was an MD of Meg in the UK, and then Maytag and all sorts of fun. So we were kind of growing up around it, but it was never really a thing. And I was in university, I had no money. So, like, he just made it redundant that the UK had basically said, oh, no, we're taking his last year's salary into account, so they wouldn't give me any money. And I was like 20 quid a week. And I was like, I don't know if I could do this. But I still managed to, you know, 10 beers from Asda for 3 quid. Straight down the atch.
Spoons.
Straight down the atch. £1 beers in the Yates in Swansea in 2013. Yeah. So I ended up just being like, well, you know, social media is cool, so let me start sending some messages for my dad, because he needed help. And it worked, because I was saying, well, you're really good. All you need is a conversation, so let's just do that instead. Let's not try and sell anything. And it just turned out to work. And I ended up making quite a lot of money. And Action Coach, who the franchise that I got given, you know, my dad was working with, it worked that well that they gave me a contract for like 50 locations, and it kind of started to blow up. But I went on this rampage of this something called the woman in the red dress. And if anybody understands, as we listen to Alex Hormozy, I'm sure if we've got, you know, young entrepreneurs here, the woman in the red dress was my fail point for like 10 years. And what that is that everything looks good. And, you know, I went on property benders and bought 15 houses. I sold them all. I then did about five different companies, different things, and everything just wasn't making money because I was doing too much. And so I had to systematically close all of that down. And the learning of that over the years was that one thing done very well is the best way to go.
What are you worth? Not what you've got in the bank. What are you worth?
$100 billion.
Thank you. What are you, Sam?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
He is. What are you, Sam?
100 billion, I'd say. Yeah. That's what we're going for.
That,
so.
I think, is one of the most fundamentally important mindsets to have.
My fight has always been my mind is so far, so further ahead than my current state. And so I have to have these mini therapy sessions with Claude all the time. I'm like, it's not caught up yet. Like, the way that I see myself I can see very clearly where I'm going to be.
Yeah, where are you going?
I'm just not there yet.
Young entrepreneurs, is it about money to start with?
Yes, it's about balance.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always had enough money. Like, I've always had money. Like, I bought the Porsche at 23 years old. I did all the fun stuff. So for me, it was just like, I've never had loads, but it was always enough. And I think that the pursuit was definitely in the beginning on that. Now, it's more, I just want to build something really big. I realized that early on as well, like, I think social media is bullshit. Like, you don't actually need that much money to live the lifestyles that you want to live. Like, if you're making 10,000, 20,000 pounds a month, like, you are rich in this country. Like, you can do whatever you want. And then people are talking all the time about, yo, you need substantial amounts of money and whatever. And, I could tell you this, it's much, much harder than you think to start from
zero. Just have another child.
Yeah.
And you've got an acorn, which is already growing into an oak tree without a shadow of a doubt. How much money does it take me tomorrow to get you two out of your business, to buy you out tomorrow, knowing the potential that it's got?
Honestly, at least $100 million.
I was going to offer you 95, but obviously...
What, 95? Honestly,
Rich, I'm in this position.
$95 million. You have just turned a big check down.
Honestly, it's weird. I said this to Kipji this week. They were like, if somebody came with a $50 million check right now, would you say no? And I was like, I would say no.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would, yeah. Because I've done the work. I know what is there. And it's like, what's that going to change? I'll be bored.
Sam, what drives you every day?
I think it's a lot of the same. I'm on a different kind of cycle in terms of age and business and whatnot than Josh, but definitely it is obviously kind of success and wealth orientated, but also, again, building something big and like something almost kind of like generational in a way, in that sense. I want to be able to stand there and be like, look at the awesome things that we have done and built and helped people. Because behind it, there is a lot about that as well. It's all of this started as well with that kind of that young entrepreneur sense as well. Like, it was a big passion for me starting this, but giving people a platform to share, because my school didn't teach shit about being an entrepreneur or doing anything apart from going and getting a job and going to university. So, and I went back to them 3 times and said, can we come in and talk and share our story? And they're like, no. Yeah. And I was like, well...
There's a problem in the market at the moment as well with, you know, young entrepreneurship. When I started being a young entrepreneur, there wasn't even a thing. The thing now is that these young entrepreneurs, they just think, you know, there's so much of these people that they follow that just aren't real. It's just bullshit. Like, you can't go and get 6 figures a month in 12 months. It's just not going to happen. No. You can't go and buy all these houses. It's not going to happen. You just got to do work. You got to work your ass off and build something that's actually good. Because in reality, what business is, if you suck, if your product sucks, you don't sell it. And I think that with AI, mediocrity is going to get crushed. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't exceptional, you are not going to win. So you better get exceptional fast at something. Our motto for FBET is better should win.
You've obviously had 2 rounds of fundraising. Mm-hmm. You're in the first one, is that, right? What are you doing with the money?
Probably to give myself some support. That's the main thing.
Fair enough. I get that.
For us, you know, we've come, you know, selling SaaS is a different ball game. When you get into institutional level AI, you need compute. And what that means is you need power and you need stuff. So we need to build some infrastructure. I guess it's formalizing and building leadership now. It's like, you know, we have to start thinking like an institutional level business.
On the sales side, Sam,
yeah,
how are you envisioning that sales structure to grow in the future?
Well, it is an interesting one, because obviously we've been selling the service-based stuff for a while, and then stepping into the software side and the platform side. It's a different ballgame. And so now we're having to look at FBED as like, you know, they look at it as a tree, and we're having to split that up. And part of, obviously, a lot of the investment is going into that sales side for both sides of the company, very different types of selling, and we've got to really structure that properly. So to me, actually, it's incredibly exciting. I've done this on my own for the last 5 years in terms of selling, and Josh has with me, basically. So I'm so excited to bring people in that have experience and in this world more than us. You know, it's good to do that, bring people in that are better than you, obviously, in the, at the end of the day. And yeah, really, really excited overall, yeah.
You're facing a very vertical learning curve.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Probably the steepest one you've had yet.
Very much so.
Who have you got around you to feed you information that is further ahead than you?
Yeah, it's a very great question. I mean, I spent, when I was at uni, I was invited to go to Canada with Sir Terry Matthews, who's Wales' first billionaire.
You're kidding.
I lived in his house for a month. It was very odd, but I shadowed all the CEOs.
Why am I not surprised?
He was never there. It was just his chef, and he never ate at the house once. It was kind of an odd experience, but I spent a whole month with the CEOs, and I learned a lot about, you know, what not to do and what to do. And it's funny that when you make something very cool, people just come.
How many billionaires' house have you ended up in?
Two.
Two. And who is the other one?
It's Bill Ackman. I probably shouldn't talk about that one. You know, Bill Ackman is a hedge fund manager from New York. He's a very, very famous man. But we went to his annual meeting because I was a shareholder and ended up with a bit of a raucous one.
Have you both ended up in such... I mean...
Do you know what a fun fact for you? If you buy a share of a company, you can go to their AGM.
You're kidding.
No. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You obviously have had a possibly unpredictable, probably somewhat eccentric childhood. Am I right?
Oh, Jeff, I think our childhood was all right. I think we were.
But Josh, how did you tell
us? I don't know. I was born like it.
How was?
I don't know how we ended up here. It's
because you're both really. I mean, as brothers go, both really cool people. But as brains go, your minds.
But
are fascinating.
We have our family. If I was doing this at the weekend, our family is like back to the 1700s, or coal miners. And like steel workers.
Wow.
And my dad was the only one, if you go back through the men in the family, the only one that wasn't in a pit or in a furnace.
Wow.
And he broke out and he kind of like said, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And he brought the classic Smeg fridges from Italy into the UK and had them hanging from Harrow's roof. Like, he was a marketer. So it was very cool to witness that.
Because I've always said to Richard, you know, those two are going to be a billionaire. And the first time I ever met you, I remember thinking, oh, holy smoke, this is different. You know, if someone did offer you money and bought the company and sold, the first thing you'd have to do...
You'll just do something else.
No, you would have to build another company. That's what the difference
is. I know
I'm
going to do it as well.
It's not that you would do something else.
I think we're actually quite excited to do that,
yeah. You'd have no choice, because of your minds.
I know what I'm going to do as well. I think it'd be more philanthropic, but I want to bring back British Steel.
You want to bring back British Steel? Oh, God. Okay.
Don't go down.
Have you written a document on that? Yeah. I bet you've written...
I've written the whole thing,
yeah. I know you have.
Well, the sort of money you're going to make from selling this, you're probably actually, you know, yeah. I could see you doing that. Right, both of you. What advice for young entrepreneurs?
I would say surrounding yourself with people that aren't going to judge you. They're not, you know, they support you, they push you. Sometimes when you really need a kick up the ass, I have always had a very close-knit, supportive people, family-wise, friends-wise. So, and that's helped me get past some pretty shit hurdles, I would say. So for me... Definitely, the people around me is the most important thing. Yeah,
it was really mistakes I'm asking for.
That's all right.
Nicely dodged, Sam, but that was a bloody good answer anyway.
Yeah, it was good.
Josh, go for it.
You're backing on that, but bit more mechanical.
You weren't included in that five, by the way,
yeah,
Josh.
Definitely not. I'm too much of a bad influence on Sam. We end up in the pub on a Tuesday afternoon.
We're going after this.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be normal for us, isn't it? So. Mine's more mechanical. Mine would be like, if you are literally starting out, I would be, you know, write down everything that you're spending. I mean, I've written down every penny I've spent since when I was about 18, so I could give you all.
Sam,
right?
Is that true?
It is true. I see. Every time he purchases something, he writes in his notes app, and then he goes and logs it in his system. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So there's a reason why I do that. It's just habit. So I know where I'm at every single point, right? And so... This is just—it's just a habit of just training yourself to
so
be
day-to-day cash flow.
It's training yourself to be thinking at the level that you need, and then
do you keep the documents?
Yeah,
you've kept all the this from since you were 18.
Yeah,
oh, I love it.
this insane?
He's going to form a book one day.
The best part, though, is that
When you're worth 100 million, or sorry, 100 billion, you ain't going to be writing it down then.
I'm having that issue now, because I actually, you know, obviously the money's pretty solid now, so I'm having the issue now. I have to, like... You know, I'm actually having to have a weekly meeting with Claude to do this because it's getting too much. I've got a child. Yeah.
Thank God for Claude, Sam.
I know. I thought his comment would be, you know, I'm just thank God for AI. You know, it's my best friend.
Thank
it's my
God
therapist.
For AI. Yeah. No. But the other thing is that then getting into Compound, and you can see if you want to, like, the biggest thing for human beings is we need progress, and the issue that you have as a young entrepreneur is that the progress is very slow, and so if you can see the progress happening. Then your brain starts to wire into enjoying that. And what needs to happen then is you just need to keep going, because the compound interest is nuts. Like the compound, and I didn't do that for a long time. That was my mistake. I just hopped around too much. I tried, ego. So
you need
drop the ego. You are nothing. You need to go and learn everything.
Yes, actually, Josh, I have noticed your Instagram, like you're really sort of homely and you're a little bit flash.
I was. I think I post anymore.
Yeah. I stopped using it. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to love that shit. Yeah.
Calm that stuff down.
Like, watches LA.
I know.
You know why? Come on. Don't tell me it's because he's learnt anything. It's just the fact that there were no investors coming forward because they're looking at that thinking he's loaded anyway. He doesn't need the money. He's spending it all on Rolexes and Porsches.
What does Josh give you? And Josh, what does Sam give you?
He gives me probably structure, like every day, you know. He just kicks me up the ass every day, and I need that. I'm that kind of person.
Oh,
so
you do.
I would say a big boot up the ass.
What do you give Josh?
Let him answer that. I don't know.
I trust.
Oh.
So nice. Just knowing that it doesn't matter what time of day, if someone's kicking off, I can call Sam. And also, just like having somebody there that you can, that you just know is always going to get to work is good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you two are
so
tight.
At some point, this company will be where you want it to be in 10 years? Is it 20 years? Is it 5?
Having been through this for 13 years, I did a lot of that at the beginning. I used to love the seminars and do all the things, and I wrote all the checks on the wall with dates and all that stuff, right?
Really?
You know, like, it was cool. But, you know, what I realized, things take longer than you think. I had a bad relationship with missing things. I don't like to lose. So it's a love-hate relationship. You've got to have your goals in a way that, you know, are, I think, action-orientated rather than, you know, I'm going to do this amount of work by this point or whatever, instead of like, I'm going to reach this number, because it's detrimental to your brain. I think for us, I think my vision is to be sat on a clay tennis court with Sam with a grey Porsche Turbo S in Monaco.
How do you take stock of yourselves?
I mean, I have two coaches, like personal, like one's business, one's sales-orientated. You know, I have people around me that are helping me adapt and improve as a person anyway, in business and personally. And I think that is very important to have.
Very clever.
Yeah. You've always got time to sit back and make sure that you're adapting as a person, your brain, your learning and everything, because people will overtake you and you become overwhelmed. Yeah. And it's important. So,
I've had to live through pain, to be honest. You know, like, you know, 21 payrolls tomorrow, I don't have the money, like loads and loads and just, you know, pain and, you know, not taking as much help as I should have done earlier on. One, because we were a service business that nobody cared about. And now, you know, being thrown infrastructure, it's different. And I think for me, you know, I have to learn now how to, you know, be a CEO instead of it just being me and, you know, driving and then just, you know, dragging everybody down whatever path it is that we should be going on.
Is KPMG providing some structure to that?
Yeah. They are. And also we have a chairman incoming from, who's Steve. Steve is one of our clients who's phenomenal. And you've met Steve, actually. He came here. So he's incoming chairman. He's a very, very good guy. We've got a lot of support. I mean, it's interesting now that everybody wants to support. We have to say no a little bit now.
Yeah, quite a few actually.
Once you get hot, people want in, and then once you're not, they want out, right? Yeah. So it's very choosing true. And picking your people. Too much activity is often not the route. So, you know, we could talk and make plans and da da, but, you know, reality is...
You've got to be a doer.
You've got to be clear actions.
How understanding are your partners with this work ethic that you have?
Mine's pretty great. Yeah, I would say. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, that's fine.
They love, you know, they do laugh at us, you know, because every time they see us and we want to go and have a drink or chill out and relax, it's like, it doesn't last very long. Very quickly, Josh and I will be talking about something to do with work, and they're like, can you guys shut up for a second?
That's also something you have to learn, I think, as you grow into an adult, is like, you know, it's not just about this stuff. And having my daughter has been a wonderful experience. And, you know, my wants have changed. You know, if I look at my vision board and vision in self now, it's time. It's my daughter on the ski slopes. It's playing tennis with Sam on the clay courts. It's, you know, sat having some wine in Tuscany. It's there's no people around. It's just us and the family.
What different kind of books do you two read?
Ex-business partner Brad Sugars, who founded Action Coach. He ended up buying half our company at some point, and we did a lot of work together. He had a rule of read a book a week. And
wow.
That's what I did for like 5 years. So I had a, you know, again, I've read a lot of books, but now I learn with AI. We go on 3-hour tangents and just head into a space. Like,
wow.
We did on the weekend. We did on the weekend.
That.
We track back.
Yeah.
Did you know that the limited company was founded by the Elizabethans basically to formalize piracy so they could go and loot?
You're kidding.
And then they wanted limited liability for the situation. So that was where the limited company came from. So that's where we went this weekend.
I'll research that later.
Just before we close,
yes.
Has there ever come a point in this journey where you've nearly thrown the towel in?
Several times.
Every week?
Yeah. Share that.
This happens a lot. I mean, you've got to have a very hard threshold for pain because it sucks a lot of the time. Like, yeah. You expect something to happen, it doesn't happen. And you just got to have, business is about prediction, and majority of the time, those predictions don't happen. It's way harder than you think. And, you know, we, like last year, we had a, before we formalized the new code, we had like, we woke up one morning and our bank account was shut. So no access to capital. You're going to get hit in the face more than you can imagine. The key thing for me is if I go into that mode, I just need to like lock myself in a room for 20 minutes, have it out, and then I'll be motivated again.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Wow. What an incredible story so far. I can see you coming back on at least 2 or 3 more times and probably every year to tell us where you are. One thing we have learnt on Entrepreneurs Worldwide is that if you're starting a business, that you have to give it
1,000 days.
At least.
Do you think that's true?
Absolutely.
100%.
I think that's true.
And don't sleep the entire time. Then you'll be successful.
One question question each for you both. You're both on death row. What is your last meal?
Spaghetti carbonara, but made specifically by one chef in Rome.
Wow.
Yeah. Luciano in Rome.
Really?
My favorite carbonara I've ever had.
Really?
So there you go. Yeah.
I thought it was Don Corleone.
I have this love relationship with Chinese food, so I'd have the Chinese food from my local village.
Local village?
In Oxfordshire.
Yes. It's our favourite story.
I thought you could tell me you were born in China.
In Shenzhen, yes.
Yeah. Where was chow mein invented?
I thought there was a bit Chinese about you.
Yeah.
What an impressive couple of guys you are. From Roz and I, we wish you every success
Thank you
for yourself.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it a lot.
I'm sure.
Can you do us a favour? Can you hit that follow and subscribe button? You can find us anywhere where you get your podcasts on Entrepreneurs Worldwide. And there'll be a new episode every Wednesday at 5 a.m. Thank you.